This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. And on this Friday the 13th, how worried are you about this Friday the 13th? It's already started. Your luck's been pretty good so far. But you may want to find a bunker with a TV just to be safe. Hide yourself away till everything's better. What should we take into our Friday the 13th bunkers, folks, huh? Well, Melissa Locker, who's written for The Guardian and Time, says to keep up your spirits, you should get the new Netflix comedy special from Ali Wong called Baby Cobra.
She's one of the first female comedians, maybe the only ever female comedian, to do an entire comedy special while 7 months pregnant.
I've heard about this. I've heard that she's fantastic. What do we love about her?
She's hilarious. She's raunchy. She's not for everyone, but she is definitely incredibly fun to listen to.
It's very rare and unusual to see a female comic perform pregnant because female comics don't get pregnant. Just try to think of one. I dare you. There's none of them. Once they do get pregnant, they generally disappear.
The kind of the punchline to every joke is that she is 7 months pregnant. And so she can say the raunchiest, dirtiest things. And then you just look at her and you start laughing because she's this incredibly cute woman with this enormous stomach sticking off of her. And she's talking about, you know, the struggles of going to the bathroom at work or, you know, trying to trap her Harvard Business School husband. And it's hilarious.
And a fresh alternative to Amy Schumer.
Absolutely. She's pretty different from Amy Schumer because she does spend a lot of the time talking about how she just wants to be a stay-at-home mom. Like, she wants to stop working and she just wants to live the dream. I think a lot of it's a joke because she's a very successful writer. She works on Fresh Off the Boat. She has an incredible career. So I think some of it's tongue-in-cheek, but it might not be.
All right, well, it's a great idea. And this is a Netflix
This is on Netflix.
Special.
It probably pops up on your the second you log into Netflix saying, watch Ali Wong. And you should.
And it's the season for Eurovision.
It is. And for the first time in the show's 61-year history, it is actually being broadcast in the United States.
What is Eurovision? How do we understand Eurovision? How do you understand your love of Eurovision?
If you like American Idol, if you like The Voice, or even if you hate American Idol and hate The Voice, you're probably still going to love Eurovision. It is the biggest, campiest, silliest song competition in Europe. I think it's over 40 countries send singers to go try and represent their country with the corniest, campiest song that they can come up with. I mean, they're not supposed to be corny campy, but they are.
Oh, well, I love Eurovision. When I lived out of the United States, I mean, it was an absolute obsession everywhere I lived. Here's the Russian finalist.
You're the only one. One of the key focus, you're still somewhere out there.
Well, that is so Eurovision.
This guy is a front runner. A lot of people are expecting him to take the entire competition. Russia came in second last year. They were beat by Sweden, who's hosting the competition this year. So a lot of people think Russia is in the lead this year. And can you argue with this?
Let's listen to Sergei Lazarev.
My love is rising, the story's unwinding. Together we'll make it and reach for the stars.
Oh, you can feel the tanks rolling into Ukraine.
Right, and if you do get a chance to either log onto the web or to watch on Logo, the costumes are absolutely, they're like three quarters of the show.
Glitter. Glitz.
Leather.
Camp.
Plastic. Neon. There's nothing not to love about Eurovision.
All right. So that's two great options. Eurovision broadcast for the first time in the United States and the Ali Wong comedy special on Netflix.
Right. That should take up most of your weekend.
Oh, I'm happy now.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you.
No Friday the 13th would be complete unless we talked to Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday. In fact, no Friday at all would be complete because we do Friday movies then. Rafer, welcome.
Hi, John.
So what you got for us? Money Monster is the big release. I love the trailers. It's a Jodie Foster-directed movie. Clooney's in it.
You got delivery?
Don't move.
This is a union thing.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Jesus.
Turn those cameras back on. Whoever's in there, turn those cameras back on right now!
I can't. Once I turn them off...
You're lying!
Spin his head! Turn the cameras off, Patty! Turn them on!
And I swear to God, I'm pulling
something.
This trigger.
Patty!
One!
Patty, what do you want me to do?
Turn them off, Patty!
Two!
What do you want me to do?
Put it up!
Money Monster doesn't seem like a serious title for a movie. Is this a serious movie?
I think it wants to be kind of a topical popcorn thriller. That's George Clooney playing Lee Gates, who's basically Jim Cramer. He's got the host. He's a show, a show host, financial show host, and he's the guy who enters the shoot. There is a guy named Kyle, played by Jack O'Connell. He's an angry investor who lost everything based on Lee's advice, and he's going to take revenge, and he wants to find out where his money went. So this is basically a rematch of Jon Stewart versus Jim Cramer from 2009.
Oh, right.
Except now you've got a guy with a gun and a bomb.
Okay, well, that's what that needed, actually. Right. I hear Julia Roberts in the background, too.
That's right. She plays the producer, Patty, his loyal producer, who sticks by him even as the guy comes in waving his gun. I think the movie wants to say something about Wall Street and the system and the 99%, but I think just because you throw those terms around and say things like, you know, complicit media and government bailout doesn't mean you're actually addressing the problem. And I think when you get right down to it, it's really just a rudimentary thriller with all the usual kind of simple plot, some slow-moving cops, you know, implausible coincidences and all that stuff. It's kind of too bad because it's a great premise, and it does hold you for the first few minutes, and then it kind of gets a little bit dumber and dumber as it goes on.
And Kramer's supposed to be the hero in this movie?
I think that's one of the problems with the film, is it kind of lets the Kramer character off the hook, and it kind of lets Wall Street off the hook. It doesn't really get into the issues at all. It just kind of boils down into your typical kind of B-grade, you know, white-collar criminal fraud kind of stuff, the guy in the Learjet, all that stuff. It doesn't really say what you want it to, even for just kind of a summer thriller.
It's been in just a few theaters up until now, but it's expanding. The Meddler, Susan Sarandon, kind of a favorite of yours. Let's listen to a clip.
I don't want her to hurt herself or anything. I mean, does she talk to you about that? I'm not saying that I want to know what she says. I'm just saying that if she talks to you about stuff, I hope she talks to you about that stuff, and that you talk to her about that stuff, and that you make sure she doesn't hurt herself or anything, and, you know, maybe also tell her to stop smoking so much grass. I know she's in some stage of grief or something.
And what about you?
What about me?
I love her. I fear this movie isn't as great as that clip, but what do you think?
You know, that's Susan Sarandon. She's playing the meddler. She's one of these over-involved mothers. So over-involved, in fact, that that scene is her talking to her daughter's therapist and trying to extract information. One of the better scenes in the film. It actually works really well. It's semi-autobiographical. The filmmaker's name is Loreen Scafaria. Rose Byrne, who plays the daughter, is named Lori. And the character of Susan Sarandon is based on the filmmaker's actual mother. And I think there's so much frustration and also love that kind of pours out of this movie for that character. And you've got Susan Sarandon in the role that it's really hard to resist. It's actually a really sweet, funny movie. Great cast. J.K. Simmons is in it. He plays Sarandon's love interest, and they're wonderful together. And so
it's like the mom wants to move in with the daughter sort of idea, right?
Yeah, she basically does. She's actually, you know, transplanted herself to Los Angeles following her daughter so that she can kind of help her, quote unquote, with her, you know, career as a television writer. But it's actually a really wonderful, very sweet movie.
All right. Well, that's a good suggestion. The Meddler, going from a small release to wide release with Susan Sarandon, Rose Byrne, and J.K. Simmons, and Money Monster with Clooney, Julia Roberts, and Jamie Linden writing that script. Hey, Rafer, have a great weekend. And it's Friday the 13th. You be careful out there.
I will. No ladders. I'll walk under no ladders, John.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.